but I have to tell you, as a guy, I think it's pretty darn good too. And I think we all wished we had this summer, or if we had this summer, we wish we could have it again.
Anything to do with those people again.
Baby, I don't see you running up to daddy telling him I'm your guy.
Well, with my father, it's complicated. I will tell him.
I don't believe you, baby.
She shows him all he can be.
You gotta stop it now.
I know what I'm doing, Penny.
I'm scared of everything. Most of all, I'm scared of walking out of this room and never feeling the rest of my whole life the way I feel when I'm with you.
What they learn from each other feels too good to be wrong. Dancing, starring Patrick Swayze, Jennifer Grey, and Cynthia Rhodes. Get ready for the time of your life.
All right, let's be honest here. Summer movies aren't good at, by and large. I mean, unless we're talking about Do the Right Thing, which is, you know, I'm probably going to put it on my top 20 films ever made. I'd probably slide it into the top 10. I'd have to think about that. But most summer movies are just sort of like, yeah, you know, here's a movie about summer. It's summer. It's whatever. Dirty Dancing is not winning Academy Awards. Okay. We know this. But it is probably the ultimate summer camp film because that's really what it's about. This is Jennifer Grey goes to summer camp in the Catskills and falls in love with a dance instructor. And it's about the tensions between these stuffy New York families that are retreating to the Catskills and this sheltered girl who discovers herself. We all have that summer. We all have that story where we found ourselves in a different situation for a few weeks, met new people, found things out about ourselves, and realized that the life that we wanted to live was wildly different than the life that had been laid out for us. And at the time that this movie is set, you know, I mean, it comes out in 1987 and it's set in the 1960s. You know, already you're dealing with a little bit of historical fiction. It's recent historical fiction, but it's still historical fiction. And it's a story that remains timeless. And it's a film that just bends over backwards to entertain you, which at the end of the day is the most that you can ask from anything that you're going to watch. Is it there to entertain me? And this film absolutely is. It's a great love story. Nobody puts baby in a corner. We all know this. Don't put baby in a corner this Labor Day weekend. If you're looking for another summer camp film, you know, there's the one where the guy in the hockey mask chops up all the counselors. That's also a good summer camp film. But that's the kind of thing that we're going to get into around the Halloween. Maybe Chris Earle will let me come in and do a Halloween show. We'll see. My taste in horror movie and my variety of interest in horror movies are pretty steep. But those are my five best summertime films. Check one of them out this Labor Day weekend. Number five, American Graffiti, George Lucas. Brilliant film, launched Happy Days. Number four, Caddyshack, one of the greatest comedies of all time. Number three, Do the Right Thing. It is in the National Archives for a reason, kids. Important film, great film, beautifully made film. Number two, National Lampoon's Vacation. Come on, the greatest summer road trip movie, summer family road trip movie of all time. And number one, Dirty Dancing. You cannot go wrong with Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze. It is 6:05. It is WMFO Medford. It is still hot outside, for those of you who are wondering. It is still over 90 degrees and will continue to be over 90 degrees for a little bit longer. But then the temperature is going to go down and we're going to have a nice Labor Day weekend. I've been promised this. It is Watch This. Derek Gary sitting in for Chris Earle, who is on vacation. He will be back next week. I don't know. He said he might go on a cruise. I have a feeling Chris Earle is someplace where the weather is nicer. I don't know. The mighty, mighty WMFO air conditioner is still struggling, but seems to be doing a little bit better against the heat right now. Coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, I'm still going to be here with Shea Spillane doing the big picture, as we always do, so stick around for that. I think Shea is going to come in a little bit early so that we can do See It, Rent It, Skip It. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to give you another reason to go watch National Lampoon's Vacation. And when we come back, the worst movies ever made. Movies so bad they're good. And we're not doing the usual Ed Wood and that kind of stuff here. These are movies that are absolutely worthy of your consideration. Some of which are a little bit off the beaten path, that are terrible, but entertaining. So we'll have that right after this here on WMFO Medford.
Stereo, Janet?
Oh, it sounds wonderful, Brad.
I know. You see that star up there, Janet?
Uh-huh.
Well, that star reminds me of your left dimple.
Oh, Brad.
And that supernova there?
Yeah.
Well, it's just like the fire in my heart. Oh, Janet.
Brad! What's happening to your tape?
What? No, you don't! Not this time, you carnivorous little sucker! Give it back!
Feed me more tape! Me's still hungry!
Brad! It's alive!
Feed me! We need oxide to live!
I'm so frightened!
If your favorite tapes are getting eaten alive, get a Pioneer Car Stereo with ATSC, Automatic Tape Slack Canceller. It automatically tightens the tape and keeps it from being eaten.
Janet, hide the tapes! I can't control it! Janet!
Janet?
Pioneer, the only car stereo with ATSC, because tape should be heard and not eaten.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it.
You hear it every time you finish a meal and never feel anything. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So when you hear this sound, rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit savethefood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is Watch This. Derek Gary sitting in for Chris Earl on this steamy hot Wednesday night. Perfect night to go to the movies. Go hit the Movieplex tonight. They have air conditioning. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. We spent a lot of time talking about good movies on this show. We spent a lot of time talking about our favorite movies on this show. Movies that are worth seeing because, oh, they have artistic merits and they're important and things like that. And I got into all of that sort of snobby, snooty, film schoolish stuff earlier in the show. Now let's just talk about fun, all right? Movies don't have to be good for you to like them. There are plenty of bad movies out there that are wildly entertaining and ridiculously fun and absolutely worth seeing. So I've put together a list of 10, and hopefully we can get to all of these. 10 movies that are so bad they're good. And I'm going to start with a classic from the 90s.
A great classic comes to the screen.
Take thy hand, fair prince.
Who said I'm fair? To be or not to be? Not to be.
Columbia Pictures is proud to present the screen's greatest action hero, Jack Slater.
Don't even think of Slater, you hear me?
This is the Lieutenant Governor.
Slater, here's what I...
The Governor gets here, call me.
And Danny Madigan is his biggest fan.
Jack Slater 4.
But tonight, a magic ticket...
It's a passport to another world.
...will get Danny closer to the action... ...than anyone ever dreamed.
Who the hell are you?
Don't shoot me. I'm Danny Madigan. I'm a kid.
And you're going with him.
Who is this twerp? And where is that smile on his face?
I don't even know this kid.
To a world that's bigger than life.
This ticket is magic, and it really works.
And better than real.
You really believe that you're inside a movie, don't you?
Yes! The bad guys are in there. I've seen it. On screen.
Could I speak to the drug dealer of the house, please?
Have a nice day.
Have him killed.
This summer, it's head-on thrills.
I have killed people smarter and younger than you.
Head-first excitement.
I hate when it happens.
He's got the ticket!
Now I possess power. Real power.
He's gone over to my world!
In this world, the bad guys can win!
The door must still be open! Come on!
If I go, how do I get back?
And it's coming at you from both sides of the screen.
Where am I now?
This isn't the movies anymore, Jack. Please be careful. Things were different here.
Damn it, that hurt. Arnold Schwarzenegger is Jack Slater.
No! This hero stuff has its limits.
And Jack Slater is...
Everybody down! Now!
The last action hero. The big ticket for 93.
I'll be back. Ha! You did not gonna say that, did you?
That's what you always say.
I do?
I don't know why this film failed. I really don't. I think critics at the time just did not get what this film was. They didn't recognize that it was high comedy, that it was parody. There is so much love in this movie. I mean, F. Murray Abraham as the villain is one of the great film villains of all time. Art Carney is in this movie. It's one of the last movies that Art Carney did. It's just fun. That's all. It's just there to be fun and to make fun of all of these giant bombastic action movies. And it does it brilliantly. It's great satire. Is it the best acting you've ever seen? No. Does the plot make any sense? No. That's not the point. The point of the movie is we're making fun of all of this stuff. And for that reason alone, if you've never seen it because of its reputation, check it out. It's usually floating around on cable or streaming. It is very easy to find on video. You will enjoy The Last Action Hero if you have ever liked any action movie ever in your life. I promise you this. This next one is a bit more of an acquired taste.
So what are you going to Vegas for? You going
to
win?
I'm going to dance.
There's a spot open in the chorus line. We're auditioning tomorrow morning. I think you should try out.
I got an audition!
Okay, lady, I got one interest here, and that's the show. I don't care whether you live or die. I want to see you dance, and I want to see you smile. I can't use you if you can't smile. I can't use you if you can't show. I can't use you if you can't sell.
From the creators of Basic Instinct, The Last Time... They took you to the edge. This time, they're taking you all the way.
We take the cash, we cash the check, we show them what they want to see.
You got more natural talent when you dance than anybody I've ever seen.
She's going down to the stardust. She's going to be in the show.
Great! If someone gets in your way, step on them.
It's not fair.
It's not about fair. It's about power.
You're a stripper, don't you get it?
I'm a dancer.
She's dazzling, she's exciting, and she's what Las Vegas is all about.
The passion is real.
I can fall in love with you.
The desire is intense.
You can't touch me, but I can touch you. I'd really love to touch you.
And the show is about to begin. Showgirls. Leave your inhibitions at the door.
Paul Verhoeven and Joe Esterhaus made that film, which at the time that it came out was notable for two things. Number one, Elizabeth Berkley, fresh out of Saved by the Bell, is on screen shaking her breasts all over the place. And the finished product is actually pretty atrocious. Your ability to enjoy Showgirls depends on your ability to enjoy camp. I don't know that this film was ever intended to be camp, but the net result of the film, because it's so ridiculous, is high camp. So it goes into that same realm as like really whacked out musicals and the films of John Waters and things like that, that are just so bad, so over the top, so crazy that you have to sit there and look at it and say, how does any of this happen? And then realize that whether it's working or not, it is entertaining you. So, you know, unless you're really into camp movies, and I'm not talking about movies about summer camp, I'm talking about high camp, I'm talking about so bad it's good, I'm talking about goofy aesthetics and production values and storytelling. But the amazing thing about Showgirls is that there are proven Hollywood people making this movie. This is not a lightweight cast, all right? Our friend from Twin Peaks, Kyle MacLachlan, has a major role in this motion picture. It is shot incredibly well, but it's just a complete disaster. So worth checking out, if only to ask yourself the question over and over again, how did this possibly happen? Here's another film where you will find yourself asking over and over again, how did this possibly happen?
Why don't you call him Drop Dead Fred?
Because that's his name, Daddy.
Like many small children, Lizzie had an imaginary playmate.
Drop Dead Fred is going to teach me how to cook today.
Someone she could talk to.
Sugar?
Yeah.
Someone she could share with.
Oh, Grandma Bun!
Someone who would never let her down.
No more Drop Dead Fred! Period!
Now, Lizzie is all grown up.
To us.
And when her perfect life...
us.
Fell apart.
Charles, I lost my money, my car, my husband.
She didn't get mad.
Drop Dead Fred.
She got Fred.
Where's the base?
What, who dropped dead? Drop Dead Fred is this imaginary friend that I had as a child, and he's back.
Everybody has strange friends, even you must.
But all mine are alive.
Well, that's not saying much. It's no wonder Charles left you.
Haven't got a husband, got a stupid haircut.
You see, you just don't know how to make a marriage work.
Well, let's get Charles back then. I'll help you.
Let's just behave ourselves. Get up.
No, bandit.
He's back.
Yeah, well, what's wrong with that?
Nothing, except you're ruining my life.
To show her, no matter how bad things look now,
peek-a-boo.
They can always get infinitely worse.
Drop Dead Fred was way out of control.
Have I got him?
You're dead, little man.
There's nobody there.
It's because he's invisible. Idiot! I don't want an imaginary friend anymore.
Right, that's it. I hate you.
Ow!
Goodbye forever.
Drop Dead Fred.
Well, what does that taste like?
Every child should have one. Especially when she grows up.
Drop Dead Fred is a loud and obnoxious motion picture. It represents the absolute height of early 1990s. We'll just call it 1990s filmmaking excess. Bad CGI, bad practical effects, bad everything. It's got that sort of New Line Cinema shot semi-cheap look about it. But it also has Phoebe Cates, adorable as ever, in the starring role. Rick Mayall attempting to do something other than the Young Ones to get some attention in the United States and failing miserably. And most critically, Carrie Fisher has a major role in this motion picture. It is worth seeing it just to see the three of them who... Yeah, I know why Rick Mayall's here. Rick Mayall is trying to take his career to the next level in a performance that utterly fails to charm or entertain anybody. Phoebe Cates is probably paying the bills, and so is Carrie Fisher, because neither one of them is really doing a lot in front of the camera at this point. And this is one of the... Carrie Fisher didn't work a heck of a lot after the early 90s, so this is a good chance to see one of those great Carrie Fisher roles. She's hilarious in this. She's doing physical comedy in this, which you don't see much from her. But it's in this horrible, obnoxious, awful wrapper. Do not watch this movie under the influence of anything other than alcohol, because you will lose your mind. Next one. Another classic, great, great actor. What's he doing here? What is he doing here?
The sixth day, God created man. On the seventh day, he rested. And on the eighth day, in the year 2010. In a remote laboratory, an exiled scientist created something impossible. Unmistakably human. Undeniably animal. On the island of Dr. Moreau.
I'd like to present my children.
Father?
Oh my God.
From director John Frankenheimer. H.G. Wells' most terrifying creation. About the line that separates man from beast.
What's going on?
And the notorious doctor who dared to cross it.
We are men because the Father has made us men.
Marlon Brando, Val Kilmer, David Thewlis. The Island of Dr. Moreau. Directed by John Frankenheimer.
Now, you would think that if you have Marlon Brando, John Frankenheimer, Val Kilmer, and a pretty sizable budget, that you would get a decent movie out of that. You have not seen The Island of Dr. Moreau, which is a terrible, terrible... Everything in this movie goes wrong. This movie is so bad that there is an ongoing parody of Marlon Brando's character in South Park. Marlon Brando is here, I think, because he needs to make payments on his island. Maybe they shot it on his island. Whatever's going on. Marlon Brando is being the intractable Marlon Brando. I'm going to do what I want, when I want, the way I want. Making life miserable for everybody on the set. Making life miserable for the director. The practical makeup effects kind of work and kind of don't. Frankenheimer is clearly in way, way, way over his head with this film. And, you know, it's not like John Frankenheimer doesn't have experience with movies like this. He's done science, he's done horror fiction before. He's done great drama before. This film, I believe, is the film that finally broke him. I'm not 100% sure of that, but based on what's on the screen and the fact that he didn't live too much longer after this film came out, you've got to wonder. I mean, this is a guy that did great, great, great films over the course of his career. The Manchurian Candidate is still one of the great films of all time. The original Birdman of Alcatraz. The Horseman, Prophecy, which is a sort of... I want to say similar kind of film about animals and people and that sort of thing. You've seen John Frankenheimer movies at some point in your life. This is not one that you want to see. I'm sure this is one he would like to remove from his resume. I'm sure this is one everyone would like to remove from their resume. But it's so nuts. This is the thing. This film is such an uneven mess and so nuts. With actors playing these human-animal hybrids in this elaborate makeup and costumes, that it's you've got to watch it in the same way that you would look at a train wreck, you know, on YouTube, where it's like you've got to sit there and soak it in just to understand that a lot of money was made and a lot of man hours were spent to make this thing happen, and they were utterly and completely wasted when you see the final product. Some people will put Heaven's Gate on the list as like one of the worst movies of all time. Only if you've seen the edited version. And even the edited version of Heaven's Gate is nowhere near as bad as The Island of Dr. Moreau. This next one is a good director killing time and going bad.
If you enjoy being really scared, if you're not afraid of the unknown, if you've found a friend in fear, then we have a friend for you.
Hi.
Samantha.
get me the police.
The director who unleashed Freddy in Nightmare on Elm Street, Wes Craven, now brings you his most frightening creation.
Get out of my house!
Hey, girl.
She's killing people.
Mom? Sam?
Sam.
Cute. Deadly friend. She can't live without you.
All right, so how did this happen? After making A Nightmare on Elm Street, and I think this is somewhere around the vicinity of Nightmare on Elm Street 3. Wes Craven is looking for other projects. And what he comes up with is this film called Deadly Friend, starring Matthew Laborto of Little House on the Prairie fame and Kirstie Swanson, who had appeared previously. I don't know if she'd done much of anything film-wise at that point. This was sort of a breakout role for Kirstie Swanson, who would turn up in a lot of things down the road. And the plot of the movie is Kirstie Swanson moves into town with her alcoholic dad, who beats her to death. Matthew Laborto is a computer genius, so he brings her back to life. And then she starts killing everybody in the neighborhood, because even though she's still alive, she has no soul. It's hard to understand where this movie is going in terms of its tone, because a lot of it feels like an ABC after-school special. A lot of it feels like it is aimed at a tween or preteen audience. And then you get scenes where people's heads explode. And they're using all of the cinematic special effects trickery that is the hallmark of the Nightmare on Elm Street films. So this is something that's sort of Nightmare on Elm Street adjacent, that maybe wants to be a film for young kids but can't seem to exist without having buckets of blood all over the place. Whatever you go into this film expecting to see, whether you're expecting to see like a good teen drama, whether you're expecting to see like a good morality story for young kids, whether you're expecting to see a good blood and guts film with some suspense, it will disappoint you. It disappoints in everything that it tries to do. But because it is such a phenomenal collection of disappointments, it becomes a film worth checking out. If only to see, you know, a couple of really good young actors struggling with whatever is going on around them. Craven may have hit lightning in a bottle with Nightmare on Elm Street, but he could not recreate it with Deadly Friend. This next one, we have there are a number of bad films that unfortunately happen to be the last films of truly, truly great actors. And this is a classic example of that, again, from the early 1990s.
After 7 months of fighting, the civil war in Chateauneuf may have reached the turning point. The capital has just fallen.
In December 1994, the forces of freedom will face a power-mad dictator in a struggle for the fate of the world.
Kick Bison's ass.
I don't think so.
You'll have to do better than that.
Okay.
Yes!
No, who wants to go home and who wants to go with me?
Ah, Street Fighter. One of the final films of Raul Julia, and a film that would have you believe that Raul Julia would stand a chance against Jean-Claude Van Damme in a martial arts contest. Everything about this film is ridiculous. This is such a bad movie. The special effects are bad. The performances are bad, except for Raul Julia, who's actually in here really trying to do something with this role. The plot is ridiculous. The characters are ridiculous. They basically try and take all the characters from the video game and turn them into actual people, none of which works. Most of the action sequences just feature people jumping around in slow motion or jumping off of things in slow motion. There is plenty of smoke everywhere. There is plenty of busy backgrounds covered with graffiti and nonsense everywhere. All of the bad 1990s filmmaking techniques are employed to bring Street Fighter to the big screen. It is a glorious high-octane mess that cannot be missed. You need to see this movie. You can watch this movie in any state of mind that you enjoy, and you will have a good time with it. I might not recommend watching the movie sober because it is a little bit tedious in places. But if you like things like the 1990s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies, the Freddy Krueger movies from the 1990s, any of the Jean-Claude Van Damme action movies, trust me. You know, this is like those movies shot out of a 4th of July cannon. It's just insane the way it explodes all over the place. Next up on the list, I've got something from a great director that is not one of his best films, but is absolutely one worth checking out.
We never thought it would happen.
Nobody gets in or out of that town now, is that clear?
The girl just died.
How do you intend to let the people know about all this?
We were asleep. They dragged us right out of the house.
Are we under martial law?
Don't talk to me or anybody else unless you get a voice print check.
All hell's broke loose in town. Nobody knows what's going on.
Now look, you just can't push us around this way.
We've got to get a nuclear weapon in the air above that town.
Well, what the hell's going on, Sheriff?
You know what I do, boy. Let's go.
I ain't taking me no place.
They started something they can't stop. The crazies.
There's a...
something that dements. Something that inflames. Something that brutalizes. It's madness unleashed by human error. The crazies. Can they tame it before time runs out?
I'm a key man on the Christie's team.
A key man? I'm one of the developers of the goddamn thing.
Now, if you want me to get the job done, you get me the stuff I need, and you get the hell in here before the morning's over.
A small town becomes a giant stockade. Heaven City must be contained or leveled.
We're all concerned with Heaven City, Mr. Hawks.
If we have to push the button, we just say the weapon went off.
Get me the president.
People are trapped by an unknown enemy. Five are on the run. Can they escape the spreading fury of the crazies?
We can make it. I know it.
David! David! They're coming, David!
David, they're coming.
The move. We gotta get out of here.
Jesus, man.
And I want a weapon search for the entire town.
Watch it, Bucky!
This is exactly the kind of thing we're trying to prevent.
A lethal terror snowballs into hell.
In there!
Madness runs rampant.
We'll dope it out.
Sooner or later. Sooner or later.
The crazies.
This movie is nowhere near as exciting as that trailer makes it seem. This is George Romero, 1973. This is in between Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead. And the basic plot of the film is a train releases a gas that causes everyone in town to turn into homicidal maniacs. The government moves in to try and contain the situation, and a vast majority of the film deals with the government arguing amongst themselves and trying to set up containment in this town, while a handful of survivors who haven't been exposed to the gas are trying to find their way out of town. Big stretches of this are massively boring. However, this is brilliant, prime, early George Romero, with a number of people who would go on to be seen in his future films or who appeared in Night of the Living Dead, including Bill Hensman. He is the first zombie that you see in Night of the Living Dead. Richard Liberty, who you may remember as Dr. Frankenstein from Day of the Dead. Will McMillan and Lynn Lowry, both veterans of Night of the Living Dead. Richard France, who played a doctor in Dawn of the Dead, plays a doctor here, is unforgettable in that role. Lloyd Holler, who appeared in several George Romero films. So the entire Romero ensemble is here doing their thing. This film foreshadows a lot of what you're going to see in both Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead, in terms of the way that the action plays out, in terms of the way that the government responds to things, in terms of the general ineffectiveness of people to cope with this situation. And it actually sits as something adjacent to George Romero's original zombie trilogy, which is Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, and Day of the Dead. The same ideas that are explored in those three films are explored here. So this one may be a little bit of a tedious watch unless you are a big George Romero fan. But if you are a big George Romero fan, and if you are a Living Dead fan, I think this is a must-see. There is a brand new Blu-ray of this film out from Arrow Video, which has the highest quality transfer of the film that's ever been done. Highly recommended that you go check that out. On a lighter note, we have this.
It's the musical extravaganza that launches the 80s. It's Alan Carr's Can't Stop the Music.
You can't stop the music.
Once you see it, you'll know why you can't stop the glamour.
Do the shake. Do the shake. Do the shake.
Stop the excitement.
Fun to stay at the YMCA. Fun to stay at the YMCA. Pain of everything. So you meant to enjoy. You can hang out with the.
You can't stop the dancing. Stop the laughter.
Magic night. Magic's in the music. It's a magic night. We all need to use it. We can have a good time and enjoy all the magic divides on this magic night. With friends all around you, it's a magic night. Magic.
But most of all, you can't stop the music.
You can't stop the music.
Can't stop
nobody
the music. Starring
people. Take the heat from flame, try to feel
Valerie Perrine.
Though you try in vain, it's what she's seeing. You know,
Bruce Jenner.
Can't stop the music. Nobody can stop.
Steve Guttenberg.
She's the master plan.
Paul Sand.
Because that's easy.
Co-starring Tammy Grimes. June Havoc. Barbara Rush. Altavis Davis. Marilyn Sokol. And a special appearance by the Ritchie family. Once it begins, You can't stop the music.
Tell the sun to shine, stop them all the time, cause that's easier to do. You can't stop the music.
The new musical Sounds of the 80s are composed and produced by Chuck Morelli. Watch for the exciting new Pinnacle Photo Book, an EMI film from AFD. Original soundtrack records and tapes available through Casablanca Records.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Following the success of Saturday Night Live, following the success of Saturday Night Fever, everybody thought musicals were going to be the big thing at the movies again. And a lot of them came out in a very short period of time, including Grease, which was a huge hit. This film alleges to tell the story of how the Village People came to be. But it really doesn't do that at all. It is an excuse basically to do a lot of what would come to be known as music videos. This film sits between sort of the television music show era and the MTV era. Music videos are a thing, but everybody doesn't have MTV in their house yet. So you can still go to the movies and see things that look like music videos. Yes, there is an entire number in this show about the milkshake. And it is not so much a dance as actually making a milkshake is what the song is about. Yes, Bruce Jenner, pre-Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner is here wearing cutoff shirts and doing a lot of athletic things. Yes, Steve Guttenberg, who seems to show up in all of these movies, is here. It is ridiculous. It is completely and utterly ridiculous, but it is also a ton of fun because this is a movie that desperately wants to entertain you and doesn't care really what it has to do that. So you have these ridiculous over-the-top musical numbers, a very sparse story about the rise of the Village People, and just great music all the way through it. The big hits are here. YMCA is here. So you can see that acted out live on screen by the actual, at that point in time, Village People. The movie, surprisingly, doesn't go too deep into the homosexual aspect of the Village People. It's there, but you really have to look for it a little bit more in this film than you do in some other films of the era, because they were trying to make this as sort of like a family comedy. That doesn't explain Bruce Jenner walking around in half shirts and some of the other things that happened in the film, but there was definitely an attempt made here to mainstream this that probably kept it from being everything it could be. But what's left is just wildly entertaining and unlike anything you are ever going to see anywhere else. This movie seems to have been forgotten over the years because it doesn't even show up on the worst films ever made lists anymore. And it certainly belongs in that category. Can't Stop the Music, if you can find it. Even back in the 1980s, renting this was a joke. But also something that was sort of a fun joke, as in, hey, let's watch this tonight and get really stupid. It's recommended for that. We're going to jump ahead into the 1990s for this next film, which satisfied a certain craving at the theater at the time.
Tell me, Mr. Franklin, have you ever known anyone with Alzheimer's?
No.
What if you could end all that suffering with a single pill?
Give me till Monday morning, 48 hours. I'll give you results that'll skyrocket your stock price.
In the most advanced research facility in the world.
Wow.
Beneath its glassy surface, a world of gliding monsters.
A team of specialists is working against the clock.
Did someone order the fish?
On an experiment to benefit mankind.
Sharks never show any loss of brain activity as they age.
We're this close to the reactivation of a human brain cell.
But before they can save millions of lives...
Tell me I didn't see that. They recognize that gun.
It's impossible. Sharks do not swim backwards. They can't.
They'll have to find a way to save their own.
Just what the hell did you do to those sharks?
Did you feel something?
Jim and I use gene therapies to increase their brain mass.
What is that?
As a side effect, the sharks got smarter.
Somebody, please, tell me what that is.
Deep Blue Sea. Samuel L. Jackson versus super intelligent sharks. How could that possibly be amiss? Rennie Harlan directed this during the nadir of his career. Some would argue that the nadir of his career is still going on. This film was created basically to fill the need for occasional shark attack movies at the theater. And if you can't go and see The Meg this weekend, which is a much better film, actually, you can have a good time with Deep Blue Sea, because everything in it is about as ridiculous and dumb as you expect in a summer blockbuster about people dealing with super intelligent sharks. Samuel L. Jackson steals the show here, as he always does. And there is a great, great, great moment involving his character that has to be seen to be believed, because it's one of those things that sort of like, I did not expect that was going to happen. So Deep Blue Sea will satisfy your craving for sharks eating people. Decent special effects, decent pacing, hits all the right notes. There's just something about it that, I think the problem with the film is it's trying too hard and doesn't realize how stupid its premise is. That adds up to an entertaining bad film. This last one, once again, this is a film that's sort of been forgotten, and it's a shame, because it's not, I don't think of it as a bad film because I love it, but I have to acknowledge it is a bad film, and also another film that features a notable last performance.
Open your eyes and hear the magic. Universal Pictures announces the most dazzling romantic musical fantasy in years. Xanadu. Starring Olivia Newton-John, Michael Beck, Gene Kelly.
I'm alive, and this world turns for me today. I'm alive. Whenever you're away from me, wherever you go, you're never far away.
It's a love story about a boy and girl from two very different worlds whom no one can keep apart. It's a spectacular entertainment that will transport you beyond your dreams. Xanadu, where time stops and the magic never ends. Xanadu.
Xanadu. The final film that Gene Kelly ever made. Gene Kelly dances on roller skates in this movie. I don't think this was the final movie that Michael Beck ever made. You may remember him as Swan in The Warriors, where he is spectacular.
Oh, I love The Warriors.
This film more or less ended his career. And of course, Olivia Newton-John, or as she described in the trailer, Olivia Newton-John, the girl you loved in Grease. everything on paper here for Xanadu looks good. I mean, you've got a movie about a Greek goddess, a muse, who comes to life and helps a struggling artist open a dance club, okay, or a roller disco. This should be a hit in 1980. You've got Electric Light Orchestra writing original music for this. It's got a great soundtrack. You have Gene Kelly and Olivia Newton-John doing old-style Hollywood dance numbers. Everything here should work. None of it does, because the people making the movie are trying to make a music video, or they're trying to make something that they think is a modern musical, but just doesn't work at all. This film is high camp to the extreme. It is wacky. It is wild. It is incredibly entertaining and highly, highly, highly recommended. So bad, it's good. Shea Spillane has arrived and is dying in front.
Have you ever run up Boston Avenue? Because I just did.
Yeah.
I actually got pulled over on the way here because I knew I was running late. So I decided this was the best time to drive 60 miles per hour.
Oh.
On Broadway in Somerville.
So we could say from a certain point of view that you and the police had a disagreement about the speed limit.
Well,
a differing of opinions.
I don't like to say disagreement. I'd like to say a differing of understanding the necessity to drive quickly.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I've had that disagreement with law enforcement more than once myself.
I love a tough student, which, by the way, I already forget his name, but thank you, tough student, who let me in to the building. But he said, so did you get a ticket? Did you get a citation? What happened? I was like, have you seen my face?
Ah, there you go.
That's what, you know how they say, like, oh, she has a face for radio, and, like, that's a joke because it means that she's ugly.
No, you don't.
I have an actual face.
You don't.
But I remember when I was 10 years old, my father said, if you ever get in trouble, just turn that adorable round Irish mug of yours to one side and say, I'm really sorry.
Yeah. You know who that doesn't work for? Men.
No,
it doesn't work for us.
It's worked for every. The only time I've ever gotten a ticket, and trust me, I've deserved a lot of tickets, was when I was driving home from a show in Connecticut. Which, the irony being that I drove like 95 the whole way there. Nothing happened. And then because I got out of work late, I had to go to my show. But then the way back, I'm going 80. Which I believe the speed limit was, or I'm going like 77. The speed limit was 70. And I got pulled over, and he's like, the fine is doubled because it's a
work
construction
zone.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't see construction vehicles anywhere.
Yeah.
How is this?
Was there a cone somewhere? Was there at least a cone or an orange sign?
There was like an orange sign like a quarter mile back. Without anything coming of it. But I remember looking at him being like, this cop is really hot. I cannot work my usual magic on him because he has some blonde dum-dum who's going to blow him later. So I looked at him and was like, I'm a comedian. Do you want to hear the joke I have about cops? $220 ticket.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, you see, you missed the official comedian's excuse. I'm on my way to a benefit.
Well, that's, I told him I was coming from a benefit. Trust me.
Benefit.
Are you kidding?
What's like benefit I said, for? Police Relief Association of Maynard.
I am a very good driver, but I am not always a law-abiding one. But like I said, of all the times I've been pulled over, this is the only time I have ever gotten a ticket.
You ever.
I've been driving since I was 13, legally since I was 16 and a half, but
you have a couple of afflictions as a driver, including lead foot and text finger.
I do not text while I drive, only at stop signs.
Yeah, this is the problem. All right, we got to finish up Watch This, as we do every week.
Yes.
With
I'm glad I made it in time.
See It, Skip It, Rent It, as we take a look at the movies that are the top 10 at the box office, and whether or not they're actually worth your time, probably more worth your time than the worst movies that I just went through, except Xanadu. Please go see Xanadu. You will enjoy that. I don't know why nothing here.
How was that?
You walk in and everything stops working. What, Xanadu?
Yeah.
No, I just told people to go see it. It's an awesome movie.
But like Xanadu from like the 80s?
Yeah, like the original Xanadu motion picture
Xanadu.
I thought
you were saying someone remade.
No.